Well, I wish you could stand up here and look out as I am doing right now. This is a beautiful sight. It's so good to see these folks coming together and forming a new church, and what a blessing it is. And I think all of us are going to gain strength from each other as we work together, as we do the will of God. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. That's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Cast your care upon Him. You know, we know that we're special to God because of the promises that God has given that He's going to take care of us. And He does take care of us. Title of our lesson is The Care and the Providence of God. And I believe with all my heart that we're all sitting here together tonight because of the providence of God. I don't think we need to discount the hand of God and all that has taken place and transpired in the last few weeks. So we want to talk about this subject, and as we introduce the lesson, I want us to notice that God takes care of us today through His providence. And providence is defined as the preservation, care, and government which God exercises over all things that He's created in order that they may accomplish the ends for which they were created. Providence differs from miracles in that its ends are brought about by means of established laws of God, natural laws, and through ordinary channels, as opposed to miracles which supersede natural laws. So God takes care of us and provides for us through providence. There are a number of passages that we could look at to introduce the lesson to see that God takes care of us, that He provides for us. Notice Psalm 36 at verse 6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, You preserve man and beast. Psalm 37 at verse 28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake His saints. Isn't that a wonderful thought? They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 91 at verse 11. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God's angels watch over us? Psalm 104 verses 27 and 28. These all wait for you that you may give them food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. God provides for us. Matthew chapter 6, at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Let's think about the fact that God will provide for us. God will provide for you. The Scriptures certainly prove God's providence, that He takes care of us. You know, God sends the rain on the earth for our benefit. Can you imagine what it would be like not to have rain, to be in a drought, to not have food for a season, how horrible that would be? But notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. Nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Psalm 147, verses 8 and 9. Who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. All of these passages tell us that God provides for us and God provides for His creation. God knows about us and God values us. I'm afraid sometimes that we just don't really grasp that, and we don't think about that. We don't focus on that. But notice Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? What's your point, Jesus? The point is, if God takes care of the sparrows, He's going to take care of you. And I don't know, some of you may remember this old song. We used to sing it years ago. I hadn't heard it in a long time. And the title of it was His Eye is on the Sparrow. Do you remember that song? And the chorus said, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches over me. If God takes care of the little birds, he's certainly going to take care of you. And I'm so thankful for the care and the providence of God. God preserves the earth and the seas. Over in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, you alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and with all their hosts, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. Notice, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. Oh, God's taking care of us. Let's don't forget that. Let's praise him and honor him and thank him for his love and his care and his preservation for us. God will never leave us. You know, maybe 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, I said that's just one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. How about this one? Do they get any better than this? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself, the God of heaven, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take it to the bank. That's the way it is. God's going to take care of us. David spoke of God's providence over in Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 and Psalm 73, if you reverse those numbers, those psalms deal with the same thing. And they deal with the fact that the writers are lamenting the fact that there's prosperity in the life of the wicked. And in this psalm, David says this at verse 25, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. Now, I don't know that is a set in concrete rule. Because I'm sure there's time when the righteous have begged bread and the righteous have hurt. But David is sharing this from his perspective. He says, I've never seen it. And his point is what? His point is that God's going to take care of us, regardless of what happens to us in this life. Providence is seen in the life of Joseph. One of the great stories in the Bible about providence is found in the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about this. Over in Genesis chapter 45, beginning, we have this story about Joseph. And you remember how he was sold by his brothers into slavery down into Egypt. And over the years, he rose to become second only to Pharaoh. He was in charge of the grain. He was in charge of the food. And there was a famine throughout the world. His own family back in Palestine were going hungry. And they knew that there was grain in Egypt. They didn't know there was grain in Egypt because of the foreknowledge that Joseph had to store up during the years of plenty so that they would have food during the time of famine. And so they go down into Egypt to buy food. And they come before Joseph, their brother. They don't know who he is. But he knows who they are. Notice what is said. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. You know, we talk about uh-oh moments. This is an uh-oh moment. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of the Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. So they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. This was all a part of God's plan. I'm pretty sure that didn't seem like a part of God's plan when Joseph was in prison for those years. It was all a part of God's plan. To preserve life. To take care of his own people. Years later, after Jacob dies, the brothers are concerned. They're afraid now Joseph's going to exact vengeance on us. So in Genesis 50 at verse 15, notice what he said. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. And then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we are your servants. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Oh, what a great story about the providence of God as God cared for his chosen people, even during this time of great famine. Why do you suppose that story is good for us to look at? Well, I think the point is this. If God will take care of Joseph, he'll take care of you. Did you know that? I think that's the point. If God will take care of Joseph, and he did, he will take care of you. But I want us to notice something else. And that is that God answers prayers through providence. God has the power to grant our petitions when we pray to him. Sometimes I think we pray to him and we waver. The Bible warns us about that. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God wants to answer our prayers. God wants us to ask him for things. One of the things he wants us to ask him for is wisdom. Wisdom's the proper application of knowledge. We need knowledge before we can have wisdom. But notice in James chapter 1, at verses 5 through 7, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave, a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. God wants us to ask him for blessings, and he wants us to believe that God can answer those prayers that we ask. And I've said this before, and I think this is a statement that we need to learn. And that is that God doesn't answer unasked prayers. God answers prayers that we ask. We need to pray for laborers and opportunities in the Lord's work. Do we do that? Do we think about that? You know, over in Matthew chapter 9 at verses 37 and 38, the Bible says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Do we do that? Do we find ourselves praying that God would send forth laborers into the harvest? Look at Colossians 4, verse 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Do we really believe that if we pray, God's going to do that? I hope we do. The question for us is, will you answer the call, or are you just going to pray for somebody else to answer the call? What are you going to do about that? We need to pray daily for bread and forgiveness and deliverance from Satan. Over in that prayer of example in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, notice what is said here. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Some translations say, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, do we believe that God will do that? I hope so. And we need to pray for rulers and those in authority. I've heard at least two prayers already publicly prayed today where people prayed for rulers and for those in authority. And we need to do that. Our country's in a mess. And we need the prayers of saints. Because the only people that can change it for good is the people of God. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then he says, for kings, for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God answers our prayers. But I want to suggest to you something else. And that is that God promises us, or Jesus promises us, that God will care for us. He's going to take care of us. Notice, we are not to worry. God will care for us. The passage is Matthew chapter 6. We had a verse or two from there a while ago, but we're going to go back and read these verses together. Notice what it said here in the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 25 of chapter 6. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things? Life, food, drink, clothing, all of those things that he's listed here, God's going to take care of you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own evil. Paul told the Philippians not to worry. And I tell you what, that's a wonderful admonition. And we need to apply it to our lives. And I'll tell you, it's easy for me to say this, but it's hard for me to live it, okay? And you may have some problems with that too. But notice what the Scripture says. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious. The idea of being anxious is filled with anxiety or worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Isn't that really what we want? Isn't that really what we want? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want that peace of God. And I believe you do too. And then Peter says God will take care of us. This takes us right back to where we started. Where did we start? 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. I tell you, the God that we worship is a God that cares for us. God has promised that he will provide for us. We must put our trust in him and believe that he will keep his word to us. And isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23, verse 1. The care and the providence of God. Let's put our trust in God. Let's put our faith in God. Let's honor Him. Let's believe that He can do the things that He says He can do. Seek Him out. Strive to be the best that we can possibly be. God will bless us. God will take care of us. God will provide for us. If you're not a Christian, you don't have that guarantee that we've just talked about for the last few minutes. Why don't you become a child of God? Why don't you believe that God is who He claimed to be and that He can do the things that He claims that He can do, even provide for us and care for us? If you're not a Christian, why don't you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why don't you do as Ananias said to Saul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you've not done that, then you're not a child of God. And you don't have that guarantee of care and providence. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.